All right, here we go on a Monday. It's Cody and Gold, Alex Gold, Drew Nixon producing the show. Jay Binkley in for one Cody Tapp. Bink, what's going on, man?
What's you have going a good on? Weekend? Yeah, we missed you, man.
How was Friday? Did Drew, are you guys talking?
No, actually, Drew and I, we're like best friends now.
Everything got resolved.
I don't know if you heard about it, but everything's been fine with Drew and I.
That's good until something gets said today, right? And then you guys might revert back. It depends on how today's show goes.
I think you'd be shocked at how well it went. I think that some like last time that it happened, I remember and Cody kept getting all these texts in that didn't go well.
Yeah, I did not get a single text. You're right. This time on Friday, not a single text from anybody about how the show was going and if you and Drew were arguing or anything like that. Although, I found out that you guys were talking about the South Carolina Gamecocks a lot on the show, and there might have been a moment or two between you and Drew there talking about the Gamecocks. But
that was just a college football discussion.
Sure,
anything that was said was an intentional.
Very true.
You know, you're a Jayhawk fan, or you're a Tigers fan, or you're a Wildcat fan. It just so happens that Drew likes South Carolina.
Yeah, that's what I hear.
Lenora Sellers could be. I mean, he could be the first overall.
There it is. You guys can hit us up on the Jay Southland Tow Service text line 913-586-7965. Video stream will be up and running as well. Facebook, Twitch, YouTube, X. Make sure you guys subscribe so you don't miss any of the shows right here on your home for KC Sports 96.5 The Fan. But yeah, man, it was good. Weekend, nothing too crazy. Went to the pool a couple times. Enjoyed that. It is miserably hot. So if you're outside on the weekend, at least like you gotta be in the water. And obviously shout out to those of you that are working outside today in Kansas City. I definitely do not envy that whatsoever, as I know it's been
it was windy too, miserable.
Man.
It was windy.
Well, the wind helped a little
really
bit,
windy.
Man.
But not really. It's just blowing hot air.
Well, it's still better than stagnant air. You know what I mean? So we appreciate you guys listening as always, whether it's watching, whether it's listening through the Odyssey app or of course on 96.5 The Fan. We'll get to the Royals, but I want to start a little bit differently today. We'll get to the Royals here shortly and the road trip that it was, but it's not often we get to do a show after obviously a champion is crowned. So let's start with Drew's Pacers and Thunder. And we'll get to what I think it means for the Thunder and the NBA and where the NBA is at in comparison to the Chiefs and the NFL in a second. But the Thunder are NBA champions, but there's no secret. First quarter of that game, Haliburton makes three threes, you're seven. And then just devastating, gut-wrenching injury there for Haliburton. We all knew it, man. We all knew it when we saw it. Everybody knows. He knew it immediately. We've seen these, unfortunately, enough now, especially this NBA season, where when it's an Achilles injury, you know. The replay, they showed about 100 times, too, so it was very obvious. But
seen a few with the Chiefs.
Yeah, I mean, just we now know what they look like more than, you know, there's somebody I'm sure that's, you know, in sports medicine can figure out why are we starting to see these injuries happen more in the NBA, and is it overuse, whatever it may be. I have no idea what the exact, you know, scientific reason is for why we're seeing them more. But Damian Lillard had an Achilles injury this postseason. We saw it from
Jason Tatum,
obviously with the Celtics, and we just saw it from Haliburton. And of course, given the timing of it, I mean, he's probably done for next season as well, just based on the nature of the injury. So that just kind of was a kick to the gut. And I'm not a Pacers fan, obviously, but it was hard not for anybody to feel terrible for them and for Haliburton in that moment. And it put all the pressure even more on the Thunder. You know what I mean? Like going into the series, game seven, you're the home team, you're going to have the pressure. But once the star player, the best player for your opponent is out, then I feel like you almost tighten up for a little bit. And I felt like that happened in the second quarter. It's why the Pacers led at halftime. But then ultimately, we saw the team that was the best team in the NBA during the regular season, record-wise, go in and play like that. SGA, the MVP, played like the MVP when it mattered again. And so for the first time ever, we have Oklahoma City as champions, and I'm sure you saw the college football Reddit Twitter account that had a tweet, and it's true because you know Oklahoma City, when they moved from Seattle and became a new franchise, at that point in time, you're thinking, okay, you know they had some very impressive teams when Russell Westbrook and Kevin Durant were on the squad, but they tweeted out, imagine telling Oklahoma in 2001 that their state would win an NBA championship before another college football title.
They should start calling Oklahoma the basketball state, right?
There you go.
Right, Drew?
Not Indiana. That's true. No, can't call them that anymore.
Be Oklahoma. But so much on the line. I mean, both these franchises right there on the cusp, they could be champions. And I will say this. What is today, the 22nd or 23rd?
23rd.
Okay. basketball should not be going all the way to like 20 seconds. Sure. I mean, like, yeah. Let's start with that. But Drew, though, man.
Oh, I was fine with basketball.
No, but here's the thing. Drew is very fired up about the Pacers, man. He's calling the Sirs and everything else. He was so excited about it. He's so excited about Game 7. He was going to sit there and wait all day for it and be excited about it. And then I think back to when the Esiason Super Bowls with the Bengals. Yep. They just couldn't quite get over the hump. What happened in Los Angeles, where a Cooper Kupp came alive and Aaron Donald just kind of took over the game. And the Bengals finally got over that
hump. So you're saying you don't think Drew's ever going to see a champ?
No, that's I don't. It's so close,
that's
though.
That's mean.
It's like,
that's really mean.
I think we should start calling Drew the bridesmaid. Because because they are. He's not a champion. Like, Drew, honestly, is a loser. Because he gets so close, but yet it's so far away.
I'm glad you guys had Kumbaya on Friday, because you're just destroying that immediately, like, 5 minutes into the show.
I feel bad for him, man, because that's the whole thing. I'm thinking, it's like,
evidently,
man,
you don't.
Drew,
because,
no,
evidently, that's BS.
I was like, Drew never wins. Now, Oklahoma is not the tornado state anymore. It's the basketball state. But you were so close, Drew. It was right there. You could grab it, man.
Know.
You could grab it.
I think
just like your Bengals. Who's your baseball team, man? Is it Royals?
He said it's the Royals.
You know,
so you're saying I should root for somebody else then, if the Royals want to do well, essentially, is what you're saying. I should root for somebody else.
The Royals got some work to do. You weren't here in 15, so you didn't enjoy it.
Correct.
And then you get here, and things haven't been great. We did make the playoffs last year.
No, I think that, this is for... I guess regarding my entire fandom, like, both times they made it, they weren't supposed to win. So I think that made it, like, as crazy as it is, like, the Thunder, obviously, congrats to them. Great team, obviously, one of the deepest teams. It was the two best teams playing in the series.
Yeah.
I think people are going to remember the Pacers more for what they did in terms of overcoming the moments that they had.
I don't think people are going to remember them. They're going to see W's and L's in the finals and like, oh, the Pacers got there, whatever. There's going to be nothing special. But no, in 10 years, people look back at them and going to say anything. We don't look like at the losers.
I think there's truth to that. I mean, I think,
back at the losers. So they're so close. Like, what do you think people are going to say about the Chiefs in 10 years, this Eagles game? They don't even care about this.
I think Pacers fans, obviously, Drew, are going to remember
you can't
season.
Call yourself the basketball state if you
big
joke.
I think Pacers fans, no question, are going to remember the season that they had and the comebacks and the resilience.
The game winners,
all of Pacers fans will. If the Pacers, and I would say next year, but unfortunately the Haliburton injury is going to put a huge wrinkle in that, but let's say the Pacers in 2 years are back in either the finals or Eastern Conference final, then I think you almost remember what happened more. But if this is just a blip, and I don't know if it will be, but
you can remember Reggie Miller.
If it's the blip on the NBA radar where they don't get back to these big moments over the next 5 years, then I don't think the average NBA fan's going to remember. That's just the reality of all sports.
It's
I think
reality.
You're right.
It's what have you done for me lately? Did you win?
But this was a hell of a run for the Pacers, obviously for the Thunder, who completed it and won a championship. And these finals were great. All the talk about the small market stuff and where would the ratings be? This was a wildly entertaining NBA Finals. And even when Haliburton went out for a bit there, you didn't, like, at halftime again, the Pacers had the lead. So there was, it kept you through halftime. It wasn't like this game was 20 at halftime and you all knew it was over.
What's the road team? It was 9-6 in game sevens on the road. Like, it's not exactly insurmountable to win game seven on the road.
In the finals, they're 5-15 now.
But it was 9-6 since I forgot what the year was or whatever. But here's the thing, Drew, even his NASCAR driver, he likes Ryan Blaney. He's sitting there after the race. He's still sick. He's so sick he can't even do an interview because all these drivers get sick down in Mexico the week before. But, like, nothing's going well for Drew, and I felt bad
for
him.
I mean, Ryan Blaney's got a championship, so I think we need to pump off the brakes.
But everything went wrong for you yesterday,
I see what you did, Drew. Yeah.
I mean, it's like, look.
It's bad, Drew.
Again, I don't think if the Thunder would have lost last night, obviously I would be very excited.
Oh, it would be one of the biggest upsets in underdog stories we've seen.
Exactly.
He was going to go to the parade.
I think Thunder fans would be more disappointed. We would be much more devastated than Pacers fans are. Like, obviously, the Halley thing is what makes it devastating is the injury, obviously. Like, that was, like, gut-wrenching seeing how he reacted to it and everything. But they weren't supposed to be there. The Pacers weren't supposed to be there.
That was a nice run by them.
Oklahoma City
got pushed the limits, but they ended up with 84 wins when you count it in the postseason.
It just ended up being the turnovers, that killed them. I mean, they had 23 turnovers in three games in the series. You can't. The Thunder had 18 points off turnovers in the third quarter alone. You cannot overcome something like that.
And one other thing, Golden. On Friday, guess who didn't wear their wedding ring again?
Oh, I don't know if we should be talking about that.
No, he didn't the other day. Remember, he had a chance Friday. He felt bad about it. He looked down his finger and like
again.
And he's like, "Oh God, Bing's gonna say something about this." Are you wearing it today?
No.
That's three straight.
I'm gonna leave that alone.
That is three straight shows without. For the guy that says he always wears it, he hasn't worn it for three straight shows.
I'm gonna go ahead and leave that one alone. I'm gonna leave the ring convo alone today. I'll step away.
It's newsworthy.
I will step away from that. But I was gonna say seven different champs in 7 years now in the NBA because on one hand. You look at the Thunder, low payroll in terms of overall compared to some of these other top teams. Young team. SGA's just getting started. Chet Holmgren's just getting started. And they have a young head coach who's only, 40 years old. Like, they're not going anywhere. They're going to be right back in this spot, I believe. But the question of can they become the next sports dynasty? The Chiefs, of course, have been the dynasty. The Florida Panthers in the NHL are that now, I would argue. Can the Thunder be the next sports dynasty? I just told you seven different champs in 7 years. That would tell you that no, they're not going to be. But the organization is primed like no other organization in sports, I would argue, at this moment, based off of youth. They're not spending a ton of money. Young head coach. We were looking up before the show. They got multiple draft picks over the next couple of years. First round picks, depending on protection. They got two first rounders this year. They in 2026 have two first rounders, depending on the like protection rules that they have or whatever. Actually, three. I'm sorry, in 2026. So they're set up to be back in these spots if the team stays healthy.
Yeah, they will be in homegrown talent and what they're building. So you look at them, you get the Dodgers, they just won the World Series. They don't seem to be slipping. I mean, they spend a ton. They spend more than anybody, basically, them and the Mets, and that's why they're good. But you look at professional sports, and the Chiefs and the Panthers locked down as far as the NHL and the NFL are concerned, but can they be that? But I saw that. You have seven straight champions in 7 years. You're just saying, and that's why you look at Andy Reid and what he's done with the Chiefs, that he's always been good. Like Mahomes going to AFC title game every year. That's how tough it is, man. And the NBA stat there with seven different champions in 7 years just shows you how tough it is to get back to the mountaintop. That's why the Chiefs should be commended by always being good, because just how tough it is. And same thing with the Panthers, just how tough it is to get back to that spot.
Yeah, I think for Oklahoma City and just the NBA where it's at, the next year, if you were just to look, my guess is the Knicks and I would, you would have said the Pacers before would be right back in the same spot. With the Haliburton injury, you can't possibly say that. So Knicks and... Who's the Rockets probably? We're going to get to the Kevin Durant stuff a little bit later on. I mean, the Rockets were a two seed this year, but I think the NBA is in a great spot though in terms of stardom, right? LeBron James not playing forever, Kevin Durant's not playing forever. You got to have a new breed of talent, and SGA has vaulted himself with now a championship on top of the regular season MVP, now a finals MVP, a championship.
And a scoring champion.
He puts
him in a rare air.
Yeah, like I think
Shaq was the last one to do it.
Adam Silver, I think, said first time in 25 years
or
something
Jordan
like
did
that.
It like four times, but Kareem Abdul-Jabbar once did it, but not many people have done it.
So SGA's in the superstar category now, officially. Like most people probably already thought he was teetering in that direction. The finals wraps that up for him. He is now in that add him to the mix of stars and superstars specifically in the NBA. We'll talk more about the title game last night a little bit later on in the show.
Oh, by the way, I know we got something else to talk about, but you know what was just released? You know the big news? You know the big
just
breaking news?
Like right now?
Just now.
I do not.
Kansas City Chiefs related. They just released their training camp schedule.
Oh, we already knew last
week.
No, we
knew they were going 21st, but the dates weren't out there.
Well, the 21st is a date.
No, when people could go, because some of these are going to be season ticket members only.
Yeah, okay.
When are the charge prices and everything? But they just released their official, meaning what are the off days? What are the days that there's going
to
be charged?
I do need to look at that. We're going to be driving up to St. Joe a lot.
But saying is they just released the actual days and times and when it's going to cost, when it's not. For training camp, this is the big news, Alex.
It just happened.
Just dropped.
I will point out, season ticket member day is Tuesday, July 22nd. For those of you that are season ticket holders.
It sounds like you're going to be going, Pink.
Yeah, are you going to join us up there? You seem really excited. Why don't you join us up
there?
I think we're going to try to get Drew up there a couple times this
$6
year.
Admission fee on Sunday, July 27th, by the way, but no practice July 26th. So if you want to go see a practice on that weekend, it's going to cost you $6. $6 again on Saturday, August 2nd. August 3rd. So there's a few charge days in there.
Mm-hmm.
A few charge days, but a lot of free days in there. I always recommend go Tuesday or Wednesday, man. Don't go on the weekend.
Just because of the crowds?
Just Tuesday or Wednesday.
Yeah, but if you go on Tuesday and Wednesday,
you know, though,
Pink will be signing autographs, too, out there.
I'll be going to talk to you, Drew.
You and I both know.
You'll be here, though.
I think you and I both know, though, fans will look at what day, what position group is signing autographs. So
100%. That's what matters.
Thursday, July 24th is quarterbacks, running back specialist. That'll be a popular day because that'll be Mahomes' day, obviously. And for you, Gardner Minshew day.
Well, Gardner Minshew, yeah.
More importantly, Gardner Minshew day. Receivers and tight ends, autographs, July 29th, which is a Tuesday. So we haven't broken down our schedule yet, but my guess is we'll be doing our shows there for, I don't know, 13 to 15 practices or so, something like that. So we'll have more training camp coverage, details and stuff coming up next month. And yeah, my guess is we will be maybe doing some snow cones as well. But let's talk a little Royals, Bink. Road trip. Finished out 4-2. You and I last Tuesday were discussing what would be, you know, a successful road trip because of how devastating of a homestand it looked like they had. 0-6, and you're like, hey, this is what you got to do. You got to cut this in half in terms of there were four games under 500. You got to cut that in half at minimum to get to two games under 500. That happened. And so most times you'll take a 4-2 road trip. Admittedly, you get greedy, though, once they start 4-0. Was it a successful road trip? Of course it was a successful road trip. But you feel like you let one get away yesterday, in particular on Sunday, to win that series against the Padres. So have they leveled things out in terms of, you know, calming the waters based off a 4-2 road trip? Yes. But what we saw on Sunday was much of the same story, right? You know, you felt like you got great pitching, but your offense, runners in scoring position, just did not deliver. You're off today, and then you begin a huge homestand. I say huge homestand because the teams you got coming in are no joke.
Damn.
Rays and then the Dodgers over the weekend. You're currently 2 under .500. You're two back of a wild card spot. Fortunately, all the other teams kind of with you in that wild card that were chasing the final wild card spot also have lost a game or two. So you didn't lose ground per se, but you could have made up ground. I think it's just more disappointing because you felt like, man, you were right there to have a 5-1 road trip.
Yeah, the good news is having it right in front of you. But off day, it helped them out last time. That helped when he went down to Texas because they had their players only on a Saturday. Didn't work out Sunday. It was kind of disappointing. Then they had the day off. They go down to Texas. Interesting things happen. They give Jack the day off. He comes back, gets two home runs after that.
Sweep
the Rangers. You and I talked about it. What would be a successful road trip? And you think, okay, 3-3, just go 500, get back to the 500 mark. And we said 4-2 would be, that'd be really, really nice. And they finished 4-2, but I guess I don't feel that excitement like I thought I'd feel by going 4-2. I think you get greedy at a point when you win 4 in a row,
of course,
like that, and just to wait. Maybe had they lost Friday and Saturday and then came back and won that game yesterday, you're feeling a little more momentum. But when you see things so tight that the way they are in the American League, you start looking at things and going, man, you gotta start winning those. Like, those are the ones, if you win 54, you lose 54, what you do with the other ones, that's the difference. But the good news is you have the Rays. They're the top wild card team right now. They're three games, they're plus three.
Good news is you can make up the game. The bad news is the Rays are playing as good as anybody in baseball right now, aren't
they? Good news is they actually moved to second place there for a small bit. Now they find themselves a game and a half behind Cleveland, but in as far as third place,
yeah, I'm not worried about the division at this point. You know, it's all about getting back above 500, which then puts you in a position to have a wild card spot. I think we recognize at this point with the way the Tigers have played divisional, like I'm not standings chasing the division at this point in time. Whether you're 8 games back or 10 games back in the division, it's more about truly, like, even more than the exact 2 games back in the wild card. It is. We all know kind of a range of what win total you need to get to be a wild card team. And so at minimum, it is all about the race to get back above 500. And this team, of course, had a chance with a really good road trip to do that. Instead, it's 4-2, which is you'll still sign up for every single time. But it's just this week, it's a little danger zone this week, though, Bink, because they haven't played well at home. And you're going to be in a spot where, given the opponents you're facing, are you going to either be, you know, 2 games under .500 still, and it's kind of a level 500 homestand, or you play some quality team here, or two of them, and you're suddenly 5 back just in a blink of an eye?
Ray's been playing good. They bring up a reliever that's like 6'10", throwing 100 balls an hour. I mean, they got some good things going. 7-3 in their last 10, but you have 9 teams in the American League within two and a half games of being a wild card team. That is where that small margin of error. You know, like you had to win. You look back on it and say, man, we should have won out in San Diego that last day. I mean, it's right there. And Lugo was rolling, pulled a little bit early after 90 pitches. And you think, those are the games, man. Those are the ones you look back at because they do matter, especially, they actually all matter. I know people don't look at April and stuff like that. But those matter because you go back in, just like last year, the Royals beat Seattle by 1 game to make the wild card. So you think, well, those games did matter in April. Like, every game does matter. And I think, honestly, the last team that gets in the wild card will probably be 1 or 1.5 games above, if it doesn't go to a playoff game, to get that last wild card. It's going to be within like one game. Like that last wild card spot will come. That it's that thin of a margin. It's a curse and a blessing because all these teams, conceivably, unless you were the Athletics or the White Sox, even the Orioles are 6.5 back. Yeah. They've been playing
good baseball.
Baseball
got rid of that one game tiebreaker though. But they don't do that anymore.
But the bottom line is, everybody's still in it. That's the curse and the blessing. Because when you look at, all right, how can we make our team better? Well, there's a lot of teams that are still in it. So they're not going to be trade partners with you like they used to be. Because front offices feel like they have a chance. One or two moves here and there. We can push our way in. We get guys getting healthy. We can make a run at the playoffs. That's why all those games are just so frustrating. They come down to the end. Because don't look at it. It's one game. No, that game mattered. That game yesterday does matter in the grand scheme of things.
Yeah, I think the road trip, what you take away from that is what we were wondering. Would Bobby Witt Jr. get going? Would he get hot? And I think the answer to that is yes.
It's Perez.
And Salvi had some moments there on the road trip as well. The power disappeared on Saturday and Sunday, but heading into Saturday, I think they had hit 9 home runs on the road trip, which, I mean, way above where they have been throughout this entire season. And so you were thinking that could jumpstart the offense, and then Sunday it wasn't there. I'm not saying that they're going to win 5-1 every 6 games.
It got to the point where FanDuel was over favoring the Royals over 1.5 home runs than the Padres. I mean, the Royals are actually the favorite to hit over 1.5 home runs, which is insane. That's where they got to, that respect level they had got. The good news is Jack gets a couple home runs. That worked out perfectly for the Royals to give him a day off, let him refresh, go back the next day, and get started. There's a lot of things to like about that road trip, but the grand scheme of things, we see everybody jumbled up. You're like, man, you got to find a way to win those because you don't want that to come back and haunt you.
Yeah, I mean, we for a while we've been discussing how far away from the deadline and to when you got to make decisions and be prepared to either be a true buyer or a seller. As I've said, you can kind of be both depending on where you're at. I know some people want you to be all in one direction, but I don't know if you really have to based off of potentially years of control that you might be trading for, or I guess trading away in some cases. And so much of that, I'll just keep saying it, will get sorted out. Here they are. We now know they are 2 games out of a playoff spot. They are 2 under 500. Once again, this week, by the time this week is over, the calendar is going to turn. This time next week will be the 30th, right? So it will basically be the calendar is going to turn to July.
That's crazy.
Yeah, the summer always just flies by. But next thing you know, it'll be 4th of July. So when you get to that point in time, that July 1 to July 10, to me, is decision time. What are you? And that's going to sort itself out. That's why this week is another one where you look at it and say, man, this can swing it one, you know, in a huge direction. If you go and surprise people and you win some series against 2 clear playoff teams and the Rays and the Dodgers team, that's what, like 17 games above 500 or something crazy. I mean, they're leading they're going
to
win the NL West.
You get to face Ohtani.
Yeah, that's fun. And have they announced, I don't know if they've announced
Saturday, I think he's.
Is that for sure or is that just projected?
Don't expect more than an inning because that's what he's been doing.
I don't know if that was for sure or projected.
He just pitched his last outing. Actually, it was pretty good. Inning pitch, 2 strikeouts. So I doubt you'd see him for more than one inning.
Okay. We'll know later on in the week too, officially what day Ohtani may or may
Jack,
not pitch.
I mean, they'd have to stretch to get Jack to face Ohtani because that would be fun.
Oh, well,
if he just goes one inning or whatever,
yeah, you're not going to see a heck of a first inning.
You're going to have their good first inning on Ohtani if you want to see Jack face Ohtani.
Yeah, Jack Tani versus Ohtani. Jack Tani. That was what he was signing bats at one point in time. People were calling him Jack Tani.
Would
he
be better if he got the turnaround pitch to Ohtani?
That would be fun. Not going to happen, but that would
somebody
be fun.
Somebody texted in the nickname Lumberjack on Friday, and I actually thought that fit pretty well.
HUD's pushed
HUD's
that.
Run with that.
Yeah, and it fits. It fits. Cags and Lumberjack. Those are two. Obviously, we didn't get a chance. You guys talked about it Friday. I wasn't here. The 2 home runs in one game. Finally got the debut, or I should say his first pro home run out of the way. And then he robbed a home run yesterday as well.
The thing about that first one was so high. It was like the 4th highest in baseball. Oh, well, since that pitch, it was stack-ass. It just showed you how bad he wanted that thing. He just muscled that thing out.
Well, that was as advertised. We've heard like he's going to swing at stuff out of the zone, but he can get on, get a hold of any pitch. And that was an example of that. He tomahawked that thing to the Rangers bullpen. So we'll talk about Cags a little bit later on in the show as well. Up next, though, let's talk some NFL, right? We know now we're about to hear a little bit of a dead period before training camp begins, but there's some bold predictions that are out there around the NFL from NFL.com. We'll see if we agree with those. And I don't understand what's going on in Green Bay with their head coach and their front office. I'll explain that next. Just getting started here on a Monday. Cody and Gold, Alex Gold with you. Jay Binkley filling in for Cody. Drew Nixon producing the show. We will get back to some Chiefs football specifically in a half hour. 11 o'clock, we'll talk about Andy Reid's comments a little bit. I wasn't here on Friday, but I heard a few things he had to say about day one of training camp that I thought were very interesting and could be great news, although maybe a little skeptical on a few of those. So that is coming up in about a half hour. As Bink mentioned, training camp dates are officially out there. Maybe we'll go through that in the Chiefs Red Half Hour. Bink's very excited.
It dropped like it's hot.
Bink is very, very excited for training camp's schedule release.
Yeah.
I mean, I've never seen somebody so fired up to know which day.
I'm gonna do a podcast with Drew after the show.
About training camp schedule?
No, we're doing college football. But
I thought it was just about the schedule.
Not just updating people. Drew's not wearing his ring for the first straight day.
We're not going to do this
again, and we're doing a podcast afterwards.
Yeah,
we're best friends.
I mean, you and Drew, man. You and Drew.
I had to be careful, though, because you know that Jason Smith and Mike Harmon that we play on the station at Fox.
Yeah, I know Mike, actually.
Yeah, but he goes, my best friend, Mike. Yeah, I had to be careful with that. I didn't say that, but I did call him my best friend.
That's nice. That's very nice of you. Nothing wrong with that at all. Let's talk about the NFL, looking ahead a little bit. And this is something that we all do, I think, as sports fans, and whether it's your individual team and people like to make bold predictions, right? We did that for the Royals season. Yes, I'm going to pat myself on the back a little bit. One of my bold predictions was Carlos Estevez to have a career high in saves and be an all-star. I feel pretty good about at least one of those, although the other one should happen as well. But for the Royals, it's one thing. For the Chiefs and for the NFL, the bold predictions in June are kind of fun because these are from a national publication. These are not Chiefs specific. These are NFL.
NFL.com.
Yeah, I believe Jeffrey Chedia put this out, but these are their way too early bold predictions. And I know that you don't agree with most of these, but the number one they listed, I don't even think is bold. Like, you can disagree with it.
Why offer a solution to it? But
it's the number one they listed was the Bills will win the Super Bowl. Is that bold? It's a prediction. You can say, I guess it's bold if you look at the Chiefs and their run, but at the same time, is that that crazy of a prediction at this point?
They've been in AFC title games. I think bold would be saying Washington Commanders are going to win the Super Bowl. See, to me, that's, even though they made the AFC title game last year, but they haven't been perennially good like the Buffalo Bills. Josh Allen's the MVP. So if you said the Ravens or the Chiefs, or I guess even if you want to go the Bengals, something like that, Bills, same category, that's not out of the realm. Like, just saying, hey, man, I believe in Cam Ward and what he's doing to Titans. I think they're going to surprise people. They're going all the way in winning it this year. Or the Chargers, like Justin Herbert, he finally gets the job done this year. To me, that is bold. Again, like I said, I think if you said Washington wins the Super Bowl, that's a bold prediction. The Bills, no.
In fairness, I would, the Chiefs obviously are 4-0 against Josh Allen in the postseason. And so based off of this prediction, you're saying that that's going to, eventually turn the way of the Bills and they're finally going to get one. I guess that part makes it bold. The point would be, I don't think it's that crazy to suggest that the Bills end up getting there. Another one that they have listed.
I'm curious, so what would be your bold prediction? If I was going to say, just give me some. Again, this is hot takes.
Yeah, we'll do Chiefs ones tomorrow.
But I'm just curious what you would say. What you would say, because I just told you I think Washington would be something bold, even though they make the title game, but they're smoked by Philly.
Yeah, I mean, if it's an NFL-wide one, I would go with the fact that I don't know if you'll count this one as bold.
No, it's hot takes.
Yeah, the Dallas Cowboys will make the playoffs. And the reason why I think it fits in the bold category, I feel like everybody just assumes they're going to suck this year. Dak Prescott is still their quarterback, and I actually am much higher on Dak Prescott than most people. I question Brian Schottenheimer and being their head coach and everything, but I actually think they'll be a wild card team. I think they'll be a 10-win wild card team.
I think in the AFC, you could make a couple if you were going to say like Houston. I think that would qualify. Clearly, you're not going to say the Colts or the Patriots, Jets, something like that. But
I think
something
like
Houston
prediction
would be more bold than, quote, just going Buffalo.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, they're going to be the Super Bowl favorite. I haven't seen the odds yet. They got to be like right up there at the top.
Sure. I mean, in the AFC, the Ravens and the Chiefs have the same odds to win the AFC. The Bills are just below over at FanDuel or whatever. For bold predictions, it doesn't have to be who's going to win the Super Bowl. Anyway, one of the other ones that they listed, Joe Burrow to be the league's most valuable player. I also don't think that's that crazy. Bold. Joe Burrow's going to put up amazing numbers. he did last season. He's got Ja'Marr Chase and T. Higgins back with him, and their defense is going to stink again, so they're going to have to score a bunch. So he's going to put up the numbers. Last year he had, bless you, Bink.
Thank you.
Last year he led the league in passing yards, 4,900, and he had 43 touchdowns. So yeah,
I mean, but did you see him throw a baseball at Fanatics? He could not hit the target at all. Even close.
A bucket list event I want to go to is Fanatics Fest. It's only been 2 years now of this, and Fanatics has blown up in the memorabilia and card industry. And I've gone to the National, and that's in Chicago this year. But I want to go to Fanatics Fest because they typically get more of the interaction and experiences that they do there. Anyway, and you're right. One of them, they do this athlete challenge thing, and Joe Burrow was throwing a baseball. Yes, and it looked like me throwing out the first pitch,
like sidearm to the
actually.
Didn't even hit the target. I mean, it was bad. And you wouldn't expect an NFL quarterback to do that, because usually a lot of the NFL quarterbacks were pitchers in college with baseball and everything else.
He was throwing it like a football. I mean,
even throwing a football, that thing's going way off. Well, what's wrong with Burrow? Did that bother you at all, Drew, seeing that? Because that seriously was very weird watching that. It was very weird to watch that.
No, it didn't bother me at all.
If I saw Mahomes doing that, I'd be like, whoa, what the hell happened?
Well, that's because Mahomes was a pitcher. I don't know if Joe Burrow played baseball in high school. He's a basketball player. I know that.
Yeah, obviously he didn't play baseball. But
Burrow for MVP, though, I don't think that's crazy.
That's not bold
about
at all. I think if you said Mahomes wins it again, that would be the bold category. And even though he's won it twice, I think that would be a bold step up, because – you know, they've been 15th in scoring the last 2 years. I think Mahomes is going to have a resurgence. He's throwing for, 4,500 this year. He's going to lead the league in touchdowns. And Mahomes will be your MVP. To me, that's more bold than saying Joe Burrow.
I would say, what was the knock? I mean, for Burrow last year was like, hey, if they were a playoff team, maybe there'd be an MVP argument. That's still the key here. The numbers are going to be there. Will they be good enough to be back in the postseason? And if they are, then he's got a real chance to win MVP. I mean, if he put up the identical numbers, 4,900 yards and 43 touchdowns, and he had 9 picks. If they did that and they won 11 games, he's probably winning MVP.
He was unreal for the line that he had and everything. I can't knock that. He was unreal.
Now, odds-wise, I'll tell you, Mahomes and Burrow actually have the same odds at FanDuel to win MVP. They're both 6-1. The favorite is Lamar. Josh Allen, Mahomes and Burrow are all 6-1. Jaden Daniels is 8.5-1. And then there's a huge drop off. Yeah. Justin Herbert, 20-1. Stroud, 25-1.
Caleb Williams. I'm looking at DraftKings.
Caleb Williams, 31-1.
They actually have Burrow ahead of Mahomes by 50, plus 650. Well,
at that book. Yeah. It depends on what book you look at. But yeah.
I've got a bold prediction for you. The Bears miss the playoffs.
Ooh,
they're over unders. They're over unders 8.5. So based on the over under,
that's not bold then. But based on the over under.
But I hear you. I'm buying all the Bears stock, not to win the division, but I'm buying all the Bears stock. As in, I think that offense, Ben Johnson, and what they did with the offensive line.
Luther,
I think the Bears.
Burton.
I think the Bears are a 10 win.
Gonna have a rough
team.
OTA, but we'll see what Burton can do.
The division's brutal, but also the Lions are going to be very good still. But I also don't think they're going to be, the 14 win Lions team. I don't think no Aaron Glenn as the DC, no Ben Johnson as the offensive coordinator. They lost their center to retirement unexpectedly this summer. I don't think they're going to be bad by any means, but I don't know if the Lions will be the automatic loss that they were for most teams in the NFL last year. The Vikings were JJ McCarthy. What does Kevin O'Connell do with him? Are the Vikings going to be 14 win team again? I don't know about that. I don't think so. So I think the Bears could be a 10 win team. And if that's the case, then that to me is probably a playoff team.
I think that's about where they finish. I think the Bears do get to that. Of course, I'm putting a lot of stock in. I love those receivers.
A couple other ones that they listed over at NFL.com, bold predictions. The Broncos will snap the Chiefs' streak of 9 straight AFC West championships. That one's definitely bold anytime you're talking about snapping a 9-year streak.
Well, it's bold and predictable. They also had the Eagles will be the first team to repeat in 21 years. Think about that. 21 years, no one's repeated. That shows you
where
the Chiefs
are. With the Chiefs,
With the Chiefs winning 9 straight. The fact the NFC East has had a different winner in 21 straight years, that shows you where the Chiefs are. I don't think they're ready to snap. At least it's the Broncos instead of the Chargers, because I'm tired of hearing the Chargers are going to snap the streak. I think last year was the toughest road for the Chiefs ever in the AFC West, because it was the only conference or the only division in the AFC to have 3 playoff teams. It was the only one. NFC had one with the East, but in the AFC it was the only one. So to me, it was the toughest one to go, and I think they've all improved. Clearly, I love the coaches and quarterbacks in this division.
At that point
in
time.
But they won by 4 games.
Yeah. No, it's incredible. I would say heading into this season, and different things happen on paper, is just on paper kind of stuff. But this division should be tougher this year. You have better coaching in this division than you've had in a very long time. All teams.
Raiders are viable.
Quarterback-wise, no matter what you think of Geno Smith, he's still better what the Raiders have been trotting out there the last 3 years.
He led the NFL in completion percentage 2 years
ago. So, yeah, if you go across the board, the division this year doesn't mean that the records are going to necessarily 100% be that way, but it is absolutely the toughest heading into a season based on QB coach combos that this division has had in a long time.
And you know what? That hurts the Broncos. It hurts the Chargers. Mm-hmm. It hurts everybody else, just the same. It's not just the Chiefs to look at with this. Chiefs have had this success. Mahomes only lost one road game in the division. But when you look at the Broncos and you think about the Chargers, well, the Raiders are going to be a tougher out for them, too. And when the Broncos play the Chargers, it's going to be a tough out for either one of those teams. Yeah. So if you start saying, we think a team can supplant the Chiefs, let's not forget, this division is going to be good all around, even for those teams to rack together wins because the division's better.
Another one that was listed, this one stays in division. This is, again, NFL.com just did their way too early bold predictions for the season. We're just going through if we agree with some of these or not. Ashton Jeanty, the rookie out of Boise State, top pick there for the Raiders, will run for 2,000 yards. Here's what the write-up said. Jeanty should be a heavy favorite for Offensive Rookie of the Year given the situation he's walking into in Vegas. Pete Carroll's going to do what he always does, which is run the football like crazy. Jeanty is a three-down back built exactly for this approach. You know I'm bullish on Jeanty. I think he's easily a 1,500-yard back. 2,000, though, in his rookie year.
Yeah, $2,000 for and this is I've seen this take a lot.
It's definitely bold, though. I'll give him that.
What are the odds? FanDuel even have odds on this yet?
Well,
because I've seen this before. It's not just one person, but I don't think a rookie gets 2,000 yards.
What are the odds he leads the league in rushing?
Yeah, that's what I was pulling up.
Does he have to get to 2,000 to do that?
He is 17-1. He has, for most rushing yards this year, he's 17-1. Barkley, Henry, Jonathan Taylor, Christian McCaffrey, Bijan, and Jahmyr Gibbs have better odds than Jeanty to have the most rushing yards. You get 2,000, I know it wouldn't have been this past year, but like you get to 2,000, you're probably going to get
I just don't see a rookie doing it. I know there's 17 games now and all I don't see a rookie doing that.
Yeah, it's the longest season he'll ever play. You know, he played in his life. College football, you're not playing in 17 games. I think he's going to have a very strong rookie year.
He's the Mountain West in the NFL.
He's the rookie of the year favorite. I've told you, I think Travis Hunter is intriguing because I think voters are going to say, oh, he was average on offense, but he's also playing defense. And so
he's got that Otani factor.
The mindset's going to be bizarre. There's a offensive rookie of the year and a defensive rookie of the year. We know this, but I think voters are going to give him defensive credit for offense. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I agree.
And I think that's why Travis Hunter's a better bet. Because I think while they're not supposed to, voters will not be able to separate the defensive award and the offensive award.
Ashton Jeanty's over-under, by the way, is 1,075.5.
I'd take the over.
I would smash the over.
I mean, barring an injury that we can't predict.
But that's obtainable.
If he's healthy, how's he not 1,000 yards?
You're 70 a game. Right?
I mean, if he's healthy, I don't see how he's not. All right, one final bold prediction that was listed, then we'll talk a little bit about the Packers because I think their situation is a little bizarre right now. Here's one more for you. It says Caleb Williams will throw for 4,535 touchdowns.
If that happens, they're definitely making the playoffs.
If that happens, he's...
That's very bold, you know, I think.
That happens. If you do that, 4,535 touchdowns, like, dare I say, you're finishing top three in MVP if you're a 12-win team.
Especially with the narrative, obviously, of him having that sort of a year. I mean, with that much of an improvement, I think he'd definitely be in the
top. Yeah, but DJ Moore, Romo Dunze, Burden. I mean,
revamped O-line, offensive mind. You know you're getting a great offensive mind.
Colson Loveland, a tight end.
I mean, the expectations, I think, are very high there.
Cole Kmet, backup tight end. I mean, they give some weapons, man.
He will be the first Bears quarterback ever to get 4,000 yards passing. That's going to happen this year. I think that's true. I don't know if that's that bold to say, but 4,500, I don't think he gets there.
What were you last year, though?
Way less than that. 37, 38, something like that? Or what was it?
And you know that's going to go way, way up with a better offensive line because they spent a ton of capital on their offensive line.
A real play caller or offensive mind. Yeah, genius.
We can bring Joe Tooney in and stuff like that. So they've definitely revamped that line. He threw for 35, 41, 20 touchdowns. So to go to 4,500, I think it's possible with the head coach system now and the new offensive line. And this receiving group is ridiculous.
Yeah, I think he gets 4,000, becomes the first Bears quarterback to do that. But I'm still pretty bullish on Caleb Williams. I know a lot of people, for some of you, for off the field reasons, don't like Caleb Williams, don't believe in him.
I think
it's all there for him this year, and he does have a ton of pressure, admittedly. And you could argue amongst quarterbacks, he's probably got the second most pressure of any quarterback. You know, Josh Allen has Super Bowl pressure, right? Nobody's saying that for Caleb Williams, no. But because now Caleb Williams has what most people think is a legit offensive mind, he's got the weapons, he's got the revamped O-line. It's like, all right, time for you to show us, though, what we all have seen in college and all believe in the skill set. If he goes out there and lays an egg this year, then yes, the conversation, of course, changes around Caleb Williams. But I think he's about to go out there and prove a lot of people wrong.
I think Jake Daniels did put pressure on him, though, because he was selected right after. And he's... Yeah. Everybody's mind a better quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that has put some pressure on him to some extent.
Coming up in 15 minutes, we'll talk about the Chiefs and some of the comments from Andy Reid on Friday in regards to training camp and who could be good to go on day one, what that would actually mean for week one of the NFL season. But the Green Bay Packers are a team that, you know, I think we watched them in the NFC North. They got lost in the shuffle a little bit because of what the Lions and Vikings did a season ago. But they have come out already and said that they are not going to extend Matt LaFleur, their head coach's contract. Now, he has 2 years left. He's not going into a lame duck season. That would be even more concerning. And you could say, hey, well, how many teams extend their head coach 2 years early? I'm shocked, though, that their leadership has said they're not extending their GM or Matt LaFleur before the start of the season. To just come out and just blanketly say that in June was kind of bizarre to me. This guy has gone to, what, two NFC title games.
His first 2 years.
Three 13-win seasons, I think, if I'm not mistaken. He had a transition from Aaron Rodgers to Jordan Love. And I know now what we look at Aaron Rodgers' QB play, but at the time, Aaron Rodgers was coming off some MVPs. You had to develop a quarterback. Wide receiver-wise, like, I don't think as a play caller, he's had a ton to work with. He's got a bunch of number twos, number threes. I don't know what else you want there if you're the Packers organization. If you're saying, well, he needs to get us to a Super Bowl, well, that's a pretty high bar to set for any team. A lot of coaches would be getting fired if that's the bar you're going to set.
And he developed a quarterback, which is the toughest thing to do for head coach.
I'd already be extending Matt LaFleur. I don't know where you guys put him. I think he's easily one of the top 10 coaches in the league.
He's a guy, to be honest with you, if he was released, he would be hired by 20 teams.
Absolutely.
Just like that.
Absolutely.
I mean, look at that. I think with his marketability, he would be hired immediately. But I also look at what he did with a quarterback. Like, he took a young quarterback and groomed him into a really good quarterback that had success, that coach-quarterback combination. I don't think you want to mess with that. Like, that is one thing that if you're the Packers, you have to understand what you have. You've got that coach-quarterback combination, and you don't screw with it.
Well, and he's your play caller. You know, that's the, yeah. You know, there's a few head coaches in this league. You know, Nick Sirianni doesn't call plays. He's won a Super Bowl. Got to give him props for that, but he's just there, seemingly, right? Now, maybe you view him as a leader or whatever, although he's still yelling at fans all the time
fans
and stuff.
Jumps in the
Matt LaFleur, if you were to, like, go through multiple coaches, I'll take the guy that's a play caller in most circumstances. However, you got to give Sirianni, obviously, credit for winning the ring, and Matt LaFleur hasn't been there yet to do so. But I was surprised when I saw those quotes from the Packers organization. Like, I would extend the GM as well. I think they've actually done a really nice job in a tough division with a young quarterback.
It's not like they've been the Titans, not like they've been the Cardinals. They've been a viable team, a tough team when people look at them. A lot of expectations. They fell short of those expectations last year, but they were able to develop a quarterback, which is the toughest thing to do.
What do you guys make of the Packers, though? Like, just way out. We are doing bold prediction stuff. Like, do you believe that the Packers are a real contender in the NFC this year?
I don't think they're as good as the Eagles. I don't think they're as good as Washington. I do think they're a playoff team.
Like, I think they're going to finish second in that division.
I don't think they're upper echelon like some of these other teams are.
You know, I think they are the second best team.
I think they could give the Vikings and the Lions a definite run, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I was pulling up, because I was talking about the same conversation a little bit over the weekend with some friends and then on the weekend show that I do. And we were looking up at odds, the odds for the NFC North. The Packers are 2.5 to 1 to win the North. The Lions are +145. The Vikings are +290. And I don't think it's a terrible flyer on the Packers, but I certainly agree with, if you were to go through and do order of finish, you can do those bets where you pick the exact order. I would probably go Lions, Packers, maybe Bears over Vikings. How much do you believe in J.J. McCarthy is the big swing there? Because otherwise, the Bears, to me, are going to finish third, not the Vikings. Kevin O'Connell is one of the great offensive minds in the league, but is J.J. McCarthy, basically a rookie season, ready to go?
Did you see what J.J. McCarthy got? The most money from the NFLPA for...
For what?
Extracurriculars, people buying his jersey, buying stuff.
Oh,
he
really?
Actually made more money than Kelsey. Those were the top two. But J.J. McCarthy got a $4 million check from NFLPA.
Off of jersey sales?
It doesn't. Endorsements don't count and all that. But
yeah,
the NFLPA.
Yeah. Jersey sales?
Cuts everything. Just everything involved with marketing for him. He got the extraneous money from the NFLPA, $4 million.
He didn't play last year.
Good for him. Oh, he did. That's what's shocking.
I think the Packers are an interesting team this year. I think people kind of forgot about them a little bit. Just Jordan Love didn't have as good of a season. Obviously, dealing with injury stuff throughout, like early on, when he tweaked his knee against the Eagles. But defensively, they're very good. They were really good last year, like a top 10 defense. They drafted a wide receiver for the first time in the first round, and it seems like forever. They got Golden out of Texas. I mean, I don't think it would surprise me if they were in another NFC title game, but I don't think I would pick them to go to the. I don't think I'd pick them above the Lions or the Eagles.
Here's who has better odds
to make a run to the Super Bowl.
To win the NFC, to get to a Super Bowl, the Eagles, the Lions, and the Rams are the only three teams have better odds than the Packers. So even though they have the second best odds in their own division, they have the third best odds to get to the Super Bowl.
I wouldn't be surprised if they're in the NFC title game.
They're 10-1 to go to the Super Bowl. They have the same odds as the Commanders, the Niners, and the Vikings.
I think I've picked them in the last 2 years to go to the Super Bowl.
Are you going back to that?
I don't know. Well, I might. I know that. First, I like Jordan Love. I don't know what it is. I think
that is your guy.
I like Jordan Love, and I think LaFleur is a good coach. It's just
great combination.
You know, I'm intrigued to see what they look like because I don't know if they added anybody, a vet wide receiver or not, but they're still very, if they didn't, the wide receiver room is extremely young still.
They got a bunch of, unless Golden turns out to be a legit one at some point in his career, they have a bunch of nice number three wide receivers.
Yeah, number two, number three.
Yeah, that's what they have in the wide receiver. Now, Josh Jacobs turned out to be a huge weapon in the backfield for them last year.
They also use tight ends.
True.
Well, with Tucker Kraft and
my guy Christian Watson, though, man.
And Luke Musgrave. So yeah,
can't forget about my guy Christian Watson.
Christian Watson needs to stay healthy, Bank.
Yeah, if he stays healthy,
I mean, he can't stay healthy.
Big Watson guy
has not stayed healthy at big all. Watson guy. Like he'll have a great. There'll be a 3 week stretch where like, oh wow, this guy's gonna be a top 15 wide receiver, and then he has a hamstring, and then he's just toast. Yep. And it sucks, but that's the reality right now of his NFL career. It's a fair assessment for his sake.
Don't forget
obviously.
About McCole.
Oh, that's right. McCole is in that wide receiver room.
He's the vet.
That's right. He is the vet. I forgot vet. McCole signed with the
McCole's
Packers.
Up there. Yeah.
That's true. All right. Up next, let's talk about what Andy Reid had to say on the final day of mandatory minicamp as training camp will be here about a month from today, actually. I think July 22nd, now we know, is when the season ticket member day will be. The 23rd is when the general public can go up to St. Joe and watch training camp. So let's talk about what Andy Reid had to say, including who's going to be ready on day one.